We do need a good chuckle once in a while. A good belly laugh will do you good. And I'm going to be in the book of Proverbs to start, and then we're just going to be scrambling all over the Bible. Kind of get us to laugh a little bit and lighten up the spirit. You know, it is Christmas season, and you're supposed to be J-O-L-L-Y. You're supposed to be jolly in the Christmas season. And so we're supposed to be merry, as in Merry Christmas. And so if we're supposed to be cheerful and merry and jolly and all those things, we ought to be that way year-round, really. And so we're reminded of it in the Christmas season. And so we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 15, just to get our start tonight. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse number 13. Proverbs 15, verse 13. Now I want you to lighten up a little bit tonight and just take a deep breath. Let those butterflies go away. Let the stress just kind of, you know, I don't know if it was a meditation guy or a chiropractor once told me, he said, to relax, you just got to start at the top of your head and just relax your face, you know, like some of you are doing right now. If you don't careful, your face is going to fall off. And so you relax your face, relax your neck, relax the muscles in your shoulders, and just relax. Relax your body, go down your body, let your legs relax, then go down to your ankles and wiggle your feet and just let them relax and just relax all over. Now, don't go to sleep. And when you relax all over, you can just enjoy life a little bit more. We get tensed up and stressed up, and so we're going to be cheerful tonight. Proverbs 15:13 says, a merry heart maketh a cheerful, there's our word, cheerful. We're going to use that word a lot tonight. A cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. There's too many people walking around with a broken spirit today and just don't enjoy life. Proverbs 15, verse 15, it says, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. I mean, do you have happy food you eat? Do you eat food sometimes just for fun? I mean, chili dogs, they're fun. Yeah. Tacos, they're fun. Now, sometimes we eat serious food like I ate last night, but it turned out being pretty happy. I had cornbread and white beans and cooked cabbage and cornbread. Did I say that already? And what else? I had one more thing. My wife's not in here to help me. Cornbread and cabbage and beans and corn on the cob. Now, that's pretty happy. I mean, it's serious, but that's pretty happy. And sometimes you just eat food to make you happy. And so a continual feast, the Bible says, comes from a merry heart. And it's not food for your body, but a merry heart is food for your soul. It makes you happy. Now Proverbs 17 and verse number 22. And I know you're interested because you're turning in your Bible with me. I can see your pages turning. I hear them rustling. Proverbs 17, 22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. But a broken spirit, the Bible says, drieth the bones. People get too dry. Now, we got some people watching online. Some of you are just sitting there and you didn't have a chili dog for supper. You didn't have any cornbread and beans, and you didn't have any cooked cabbage or corn on the cob, and you're sad. But we're going to have you cheer up before the night's over. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we pray that you'd bless us tonight. Help us to lighten the spirit, not just in the Christmas season, but Lord, help us to have a merry spirit, a cheerful spirit as the year goes by. Bless us tonight. May the Spirit of God just invade our stressed and sinful hearts and make us happy. We pray you'd bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. And we're going to look at several scriptures tonight as we go through, and I'll have a few verses for each one of these points that we're going to make. When I was a kid, I had an old 33 and a third RPM record that had mostly funny stories on it. It didn't have much by the way of music. Had a couple of old cowboy songs, but most of it was just a fella telling funny stories. And one of the stories was an old man talking, and he's talking about his old dog sitting out on the, his old hound dog sitting out on the front porch, just howling so mournfully. Old hound dog's mournfully howling. And the old man says, I know why the old hound dog's howling. He's sitting on his tail, and it hurts, but he's just too blue to move. And I think there's people today that maybe some of them are saved, but they're just too blue to move. I mean, they know they're sitting in a place where it's sad. They're sitting in a place where they just don't have much fun, but they're just too blue to move. Before I was saved, I remember in my first year of college, I went down at BB and wicked place down there. All their professors are wicked down there. Sorry, Brother Chad, I forgot you were in here. And I went to college down there, and I remember 69, 70, 71, long in there, the Carpenters were a well-known singing group, and I listened to different music back then than I listen to now, but the Carpenters had a song that was called Rainy Days and Mondays, and Karen Carpenter sang about that. Rainy days and Mondays always get me down. Some of you might have heard it. Well, if it's raining, it's a sad day, right? And if it's Monday, man, you get a double whammy. You've got rainy day and Monday both. Now, Monday's my happy day. Man, I roast coffee on Monday and try to stay just neutral in the world. That's the day when I hide out and get over Sunday. And so Karen Carpenter would seemed to have many of those days. She was anorexic and had a lot of problems, the one who sang that song. And so she would know what it'd be like to have rainy days and Mondays. But she died in February 1983. She never discovered that elusive joy that she and so many other people seem to seek all through life. Some people don't enjoy life much, and all the drum fill music and the hoopla that goes on in some of the music just can't seem to cheer some people up. And some people just don't enjoy life much. And they tend to be sad most of the time. And they're so blue, they're like the old hound dog that just can't move. They know they're not happy, but they don't know what to do about it. And so they get stuck there. I think the Lord meant for His people to be cheerful, though. He came to give us life and to give us life more abundantly. And to be cheerful, though, it's going to cost you something. Not necessarily money, but it will cost you some effort. You just won't find cheerfulness unless you do your part. Remember the story about the boy who came home. He was in high school. He got his driver's permit, and he came in and asked his dad. He said, Dad, I want to ask you to buy me a car. And his dad said, Son, that's a pretty important thing to own a car, and it costs some money. He said, now, I'm willing to do it, but there's a couple of things I want you to do. It's going to cost you on your part to have to do some of this. You haven't got any money. I've got the money, but I'll do it. But number one, I want you to get those grades up at school. And number two, I want you to get that long, shaggy haircut. He said, if you'll do those two things, then we'll see about getting you a car. I'll give you about a month. Well, the next report he got from school, he brought it home. Man, that boy was happy as all get out. He said, look, Dad, got straight A's. Got straight A's. Now, how about that car? And Dad looked at him and said, son, you hadn't got that haircut yet. The boy said, Dad, I've been reading about that. And he said, I've looked at some of the pictures, Bible pictures and stuff. And he said, it looks like Moses had long hair, Samson had long hair, and even the pictures I looked at shows Jesus with long hair. And Dad looked at his son, he said, that's right, son, but they all walked everywhere they went. It costs you something to have cheerfulness. You have to put forth something. And the holiday season is such a cheerful time for some people, and yet other people, they're more depressed than ever when holiday season comes. And so they would, I think there's some people, if you could go around and you take your phone out and take a video, if you could follow them all day and take a video of them and show them at the end of the day just how sad and unhappy they look and act and talk all the day long. If you showed them a video of that, they'd probably get mad at you because that's not the way they want to see themselves. And being cheerful, for some people, it just comes naturally, but others of us just have to work on it, you know. Cheerfulness is mentioned a lot in the Bible, more times than we can explore tonight. But I want to call your attention to three actions tonight, three actions that will cost us, that we can take in order to be cheerful. And you can be a lot more satisfied with life if you're cheerful and not so somber all the time. Three things: things to avoid, things to activate, and things to appoint. Let's look at the first one. We'll mention just briefly, I don't want to spend too much time on it, but the negative side of cheerfulness is things to avoid. It's hard to have a real cheerful time at a funeral. Now, I'm not saying you ought to avoid funerals, but I'm just saying there are some things that you have to avoid if you want to be cheerful. And sinful pleasure is one of those things that you can seem to have pleasure for a season, as the Bible says, but then it doesn't bring joy in the lasting sense. There is a cheerfulness that's temporary and wrong. You can laugh, but you won't be really happy about it after it's over. Proverbs 14, verse number 12 says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness." There is laughing that's good and there's laughing that's bad. There's joy that's good and there's joy that's bad. There is a merry heart that's good and a merry heart that's bad. Depends on what you're merry about. And there's some things that we can laugh about that really won't bring us permanent joy. The Bible says in James 1:13, "Let no man say he is tempted. When he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For no man, or for God tempteth, cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Now, people can have fun in sin, but the sin is not something that pleases God, and it brings forth death at the end. There's a scripture, I hesitate to even read it, but it's an example. You know how modern society, and I guess it's always been this way, takes words and give them a different meaning. The homosexual movement has taken the word gay. If you watch some of the old Christmas movies from 50, 75 years ago, they used the word gay a lot, and it was a good word. It meant cheerful, merry, happy, and so forth. And as an example, the joy that people can get temporarily from following a fad, and I think a lot of this homosexuality business and transgenderism and lesbianism, I think a lot of that is just following a fad. It's become so popular to be politically correct and to be used by the politically correct crowd. They think they're having fun, but it's going to bring torment to them in the end. There was a man and his concubine were traveling in Israel years before the time of Christ. In Judges chapter 19 and verse number 20, they come through a certain town, and nightfall has caught them, and there's no place found for them to stay. And finally, an old man sees them wandering in the street and asks them to come in. The Jews were big on hospitality. And so this old man said, where are you folks going? Well, we're traveling through. What are you going to do tonight? We don't have a place to stay. And the old man said, why don't you come and stay with me tonight, and you can go on your way tomorrow. In verse number 20, it says, "And the old man said, peace be with thee. Howsoever, let all thy servants, or let all thy wants, lie upon me, lodge not only in the street tonight. So he brought them into his house and gave provender unto their asses and washed, and they washed their feet and did eat and drink. Now as they were making their hearts merry, now there's the key word. They're eating and they're drinking and just fellowshipping and having a merry time. It says, now as they were making their hearts merry, behold, the men of the city, certain sons of Belial, beset the house round about and beat at the door and spake to the master of the house, the old man, saying, bring forth the man that came into thine house that we may know him. And the man, the master of the house, went out unto them and said, nay, my brethren, nay, I pray you, do not so wickedly. Now they wanted to have romantic relations with this man that had come into the house of the old man. And he said, no, that's wickedness. Don't even think about that. And so what we're seeing here is there was a merriment of these people inside the house who were having a meal together and just fellowshipping together. They're having a good time. They're cheerful. But then the men of the city found their cheerfulness in a different way. They were gay in the modern sense of the word. They came to, as sodomites, to call this man out, which the Bible calls their wickedness, as it does in many other places. And so I'm just saying, there's a way to seek cheerfulness. There's a way to seek joy. There's a way to seek pleasure that God is not happy with. He calls it, in many places in the Bible, abomination. Now, it's not the only sinful way to have pleasure. There's drunkenness and drugs and fornication of all kinds. But I'm just simply making this statement. There's some things, if we're going to have joy in our life, if we're going to have mirth and happiness and cheerfulness, if we're going to be a cheerful person, we got to go about it the right thing. And there's some things we have to avoid. And if telling a dirty joke brings you joy, avoid it. That's the wrong kind of joy. If going out and gossiping and criticizing brings you happiness and joy, avoid it. It's wrong. And it'll bring forth deathly consequences. So let's go ahead and Psalm 37:4, I'll just say this. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee desires of thine heart. Proverbs 11:20, they that are of a froward heart are an abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are his delight. And so we don't want to laugh at the calamities of other people or indulge in the sinlessness or the sinfulness of other people to try to bring joy to ourselves. Even excess sarcasm. And we live in a time of, you know, we joke with each other. And we joke around here a lot, like I was making fun of Aaron's coat. Well, he needed to be made fun of. But if we go too far with our sarcasm, like on Facebook, I see it all the time. People just get downright rude and mean and nasty with their sarcasm. There's a place for lightheartedness and jesting. But the Bible in Ephesians 5:4 says, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. There is such a thing as foolishness that goes way beyond just being funny. And if we make fun of somebody, if we make fun of people, maybe because I know when we were in high school and grade school, we used to make fun of people who we thought were ugly. Do you know what kind of scars that leaves on people for life? You make fun of people, maybe because they've got a deformity of some kind. You know, one of their ears is different than the other ear. Maybe their nose is crooked. Maybe their teeth looks weird. And we make fun of people. That's foolish jesting. And it leaves permanent scars that people can grow up and never reach their full potential because they're too knocked down and beat down by their peers earlier in life. And so we don't want to make fun of people because of something physical or even mental about them. Some people have emotional problems and there's not really anything they can do about it. If it's an emotional or mental illness, they can't really help it. And so we got to be careful about having fun at other people's expense. You know what I'm talking about? You ever had people make fun of you? if your memory's short, if you don't remember back when you were in school, and especially then, and so we need to grow out of that. Now let's get to the positive side. Cheerfulness. This is what we need to do. You avoid some things, that's the wrong kind of cheerfulness, but then we said avoid, but then activate. What are we going to activate to bring in cheerfulness into our heart? Well, there's several verses I want to look at through here. And one of the things that we can activate is spending time with people that we care about. In Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 5, in the law, when somebody got married, the man was not obligated to go into the military for a full year because he was supposed to stay home and cheer up his wife. Listen to this, Deuteronomy 24, 5. When a man hath taken a new wife, he shall not go out to war, neither shall he be charged with any business, but he shall be free at home 1 year and shall cheer up his wife, which he hath taken. I guess she just realized this guy she married to and she needed cheering up. Well, some of you, you know, you better cheer up your wife because she knows how you are. I think the key here is spending time with people that you care about brings joy. Spend time with those you love and make cheerfulness as you interact with them. Do something. Hey, make them laugh once in a while. Do you know one of the things that people like about a church service? I'm talking about people maybe that don't go to church very much. When they come in, they don't care for church. One of the things that they always remember are things that said that was funny, that made them laugh. Lighten the spirit a little bit. And so if you ever think that a preacher is not being biblical or maybe he's not being serious enough in the pulpit, most preachers know that, especially if you're preaching something real hard and maybe something delicate, it's good to bring a laugh in once in a while because it relaxes people and lifts their spirits. It's kind of like giving flavored cough syrup to your children. You know, if you give them something that tastes like that old paragaric that my grandpa would give me when I was a kid. Yeah. But if you can get some fruit-flavored cough syrup, it goes down easier and they like it a little more. And that's the same way with maybe a message during the preaching, a little bit of humor along the way. Now, we don't want to turn it into a light, late-night comedy show, but a little bit of humor interspersed here and there can lift the spirits and make people swallow the hard-to-swallow stuff. Spend some time. If you want to be cheerful, spend some time with your family. I know when I was growing up, there were a lot of dads who were all business and didn't spend quality time with their family. And boy, everything was just so serious. And if it wasn't about business, boy, they just didn't talk about it. There wasn't any fooling around, you know. There wasn't any joking and laughing and having a good time together as a family. But we need to do that. We need to have some good times. And it needs to be on a daily basis. I mean, one of the ways this man cheering up his wife, I'll tell you a way that a wife can cheer up a husband, especially if she's at home when her husband comes home, if he's been working all day. One of the things a wife can do is not dump a bunch of bad news on her husband as soon as he walks through the door. Hello. Yeah. Think of something fun to do or fun to say and dump the bad news on him later after his belly's full, right? Yeah. Well, what else can we do besides spending time with them? Activate that time. I think it's good. I mean, if you can't afford a couple of nights to go out and, you know, do the town or go to another city away from somewhere, get a pound of bologna and a loaf of bread and go to the park. You know, there's a lot of ways you can have fun. It doesn't cost money. Entertain good memories instead of thinking on the bad things. Now, here's a second way we can interact with people and have a cheerful time. It's hard to have a cheerful time if you're thinking about all the bad stuff that's ever happened. I mean, think about Joseph when his brothers sold him into slavery down into Egypt. Do you remember that? I mean, he's weeping and wailing and gnashing his teeth on the wall of that well that they threw him in, and he gets carried away as a slave, and he spends years in Egypt, part of that time in the prison, and then he's reunited with his brothers, and they don't recognize him because he's dressed as an Egyptian. He's kind of disguised, and they don't recognize him, but he recognizes them. And it says that they come in together to eat a meal. Joseph invites them in. He's like the vice president of Egypt, and he brings them in. In Genesis 43, 34, it says, and he took and sent messes unto them. Messes. Now, a mess in the Bible is a meal. Like, you ever eat a mess of fish? You ever eat a mess of poke salad? Yeah. You ever eat a mess of collard greens? You ever eat a mess of turnips? Man, it's turnip season right now. I'm looking for turnips. If you hear if anybody's got some they raised in their garden, let me know. A little bit of clear hot sauce on those turnips, and man, you talk about cheerful. They'll make you cheerful. And so he's serving them messes. It says, but Benjamin's mess was five times so much as any of theirs, and they drank and they ate their supper, and it says, and they were merry with him. Now, Joseph was the kind of guy, even though all that had happened, he could be bitter towards them. He could have had them executed if he'd wanted to. Man, and that's not merry. That's not cheerful. But in the middle of all this, they've got in their memory what they did to him, and he's got in his memory what they did to him. And this could have been a very tense time. But Joseph had the talent, the ability, and the attitude that he wanted to make things cheerful. And so they had a happy time. If we retain in our memory all the bad things that happens, listen, I'm talking about somebody just being constantly turning things over in their mind, all the bad things that's ever happened, all the bad things the wife ever said, all the bad things the kids ever did. And that's why I think you ought to discipline your children, discipline them quickly, firmly, get it over with, pray with them, and then forget about it. And then you go on to a new day. And you do the same thing with your husband or your wife. If you've done something wrong, admit it, get forgiveness for it, and then move on and go forward the next day. You don't want to let things build up. See, Joseph didn't let these things build up. And we can't be cheerful if we're harboring ill thoughts in our heart. You need to forgive people. Now look, for them to get forgiveness in a godly, biblical way, to its fullest extent, they need to repent for them to benefit from forgiveness. But did you know you can forgive people that don't even ask you to forgive them? You have the ability to forgive them. And it's mostly for your benefit. You let it go. And when you've let it go, then you can be cheerful again. If you let bad memories, bad history. One man said, told his counselor, he said, my wife, she gets historical. He said, you mean hysterical? He said, no, I mean historical. She brings up everything I ever did. We don't want to get historical. We don't want to build up things until we boil over. There won't be any cheerfulness when we do that. One preacher, you know, preachers have to work hard at keeping their heart right, because a preacher, you just got one preacher generally that you have to forgive and forget about. But a preacher has several people that he has to forgive and forget about. And I heard about this one preacher, a whole crowd showed up on Easter. Man, the place was packed out. And the preacher said, well, I want to thank all of you for being here today, and since most of you only come on Easter, I want to go ahead and wish you Merry Christmas while you're here before next Easter comes. And so we've got to be willing to forgive and to forget and move on. What's another thing that make us cheerful? Things to activate in our life. Did you know that work can make you cheerful? Unlike what Maynard G. Krebs on the Dobie Gillis show said back in the 50s and 60s, Maynard was a beatnik. And he was lazy, and he never work. And if anybody mentioned the word work around him, he'd go, work! And it'd scare him out of his skin. And there are a lot of people like that today, man. You say work around them, and it scares them to death. They don't want any part of work. But you know, work can make you cheerful and happy. Work, God designed us that way. Even before Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden, He designed them to work in the Garden of Eden. He knew that would make them happy. People that are occupied with industriousness, with a purpose, are happier than people that just sit around and mull things over in their mind and think about how mad they are about everything. Get a job. You'll be happier. Work is actually good for you. Most of the time. One woman went to visit her husband in prison. And after the visit was over, she told a correction officer outside, she said, I don't think you ought to make my husband work as hard as y'all are. He said, work? He said, your husband doesn't do anything around here. He lays in his cell all day. He comes out to eat and watches TV the rest of the time and sleeps. She said, well, he told me you'd been making him work. He told me he's been digging on a tunnel for over a month. Work is good for you most of the time. Some people work hard to avoid work, and those people tend to be not very happy and not very cheerful. Ecclesiastes 3:13 says, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. Labor is a gift of God. When you've done something and you finish it, boy, you feel better about it. You go home feeling satisfied. You did a good job at work. You did a good job for the boss. You put in your day's work. You feel like you worked for what you earned. And you go home satisfied and you can be more cheerful. What else can we activate in our life to make us more cheerful? Extend a helping hand. Be a giver. An old woman came out of Walmart and found a couple of guys trying to get into her car. And she carried a pistol. She yanked that pistol out and said, get away from that car and start running right now before I pull this trigger. Man, those four guys took off running. And she tried to unlock the car and it wouldn't unlock. She hit the key fob and the car horn honked over beside of her. And she looked and her car was parked over there. God loveth a cheerful giver. In 2 Corinthians 9:7, it says, every man, talking about giving, every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Cheerful giver. What are we talking about tonight? We're talking about being cheerful. And God loves a cheerful giver. You know why we can be cheerful about giving? Because we know it makes God happy. We're not talking about just giving in the offering plate. We're not talking about just giving in these boxes on the wall. We're not talking about just giving to Faith Promise so that missionaries can get the gospel around the world. But we're talking about giving in general. When you give to other people, when you give to individuals, you know somebody's not going to have anything to eat for Thanksgiving or Christmas, and you give them something to eat. Doesn't that make you feel good? And it kind of lifts your spirits. You feel like, hey, I've done something to help somebody. And when you give to somebody, I have given the guys a little bit of money or bought them a sandwich before, and it wasn't much, but I just felt like, hey, I was useful, you know? And God loveth a cheerful giver. What else can we do? What else can we activate? Activate cheerfulness in our heart. Enter into the presence of the Lord. Matthew 9, 1 and 2, it says, and he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Hey, come into the presence of God. For people who are lost and never been saved, maybe somebody's watching tonight and you're miserable, you even thought about committing suicide, maybe. Maybe you thought about running away, go someplace else, leaving your wife, leaving your husband. You thought about doing something terrible that you ought not to think about. And you don't know Jesus as Savior. There is a cheer that comes from having your sins forgiven. When you get saved, some of you remember, when you got saved, it just, a burden was lifted. You know, God's not mad at me now. I'm saved. And when your sins are forgiven, when you come into the presence of God in such a way, it just makes your life more cheerful to know that you've been forgiven. Don't you know that? You do, don't you? You know what it feels like to have your sins lifted. The burden is gone. And then for those of us who are saved, maybe sometimes we just get burdened down. We need to come into the presence. The Bible says, come into the Lord's presence with singing and praises and thanksgiving. And with the fruit of your lips, let that be made known. Man, we need to come into the presence of the Lord and just get alone with God and let Him fill you with some cheer. Another thing that brings cheer we can activate in our life is joy for those who repented. The father in Luke 15, father of the prodigal son, when he came back, when he finally came home after he'd been in such wickedness, it says, "For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry." Seeing a sinner repent ought to make you cheerful. That's one of the reasons we need church, is to see sometimes some old lost sinner will come in and kneel down at the altar and pray and ask God to save him. Oh, that ought to bring joy to your heart. That ought to make you cheerful. Just knowing somebody got right with God. Then the third thing, and I'll be done. Third thing is a point. This is a real fast one. A point. What do you do? First, avoid anything that's sinful in your life. Second, what do? Activate things that bring cheer in our life. And number three, a point. What do I mean by that? Be in charge of cheerfulness. You appoint cheerfulness wherever you go. You be the one in charge. If it's not a happy situation, you change it. Psalm 118:24 says, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." He said, "We will." Future tense. So you appoint every day to be a cheerful day. And you appoint yourself the master of ceremonies of bringing cheer into the life, the day of others and yourself. And so you have to take charge. I said it costs you something to be cheerful. And so you got to make a plan. When you wake up in the morning, I don't know if you can wake up like Zig Ziglar used to say he woke up in the morning. He said when he'd wake up in the morning, he would sit up straight in the bed and clap his hands and say, "Oh, glory to God, it's a brand new day." Now me, I'm crawling out of bed and trying to get to my feet, praying for a resurrection. But you can start each day with the idea, the attitude, "I'm going to have a cheerful day. I'm going to have a cheerful day." You can be mad or you can be glad. Happiness is a choice. Cheerfulness is a choice. This merry heart is like a medicine. It'll do you some good. Do you know merry, cheerful people live longer than sad and depressed people? It's a fact. Hospitals will tell you, doctors will tell you, if they've got a patient with a positive attitude, somebody that's cheerful and looks on the bright side, they tend to get well quicker and they tend to stay out of the hospital longer. Having a cheerful heart is good like a medicine. I'm saying we ought to work at being cheerful. We can't always command the circumstances around us. I know two or three people that's lost loved ones this week. And that's not a time when it's easy to be very cheerful, is it? We can't control those circumstances, but we can control our attitude. And when things don't look real rosy, we can either be a victim of the circumstances or we can be the victor over the circumstances. Somebody asked old evangelist Lester Roloff one time, he asked them, "How are you doing?" And they said, "Well, doing okay, I guess, under the circumstances." He said, "Under the circumstances, man, what are you doing under there? Get out." And so it's our choice to be under the circumstances or be on top of the circumstances. You can be a victim or you can be a victor. Cheerfulness is a decision that we ought to make. Be cheerful. I like old Curtis Hudson was a preacher that passed away back, I guess, in the late 80s, early 90s. No, I guess in the late 90s. He was editor of the Sword of the Lord magazine, and he'd just do things to be funny. And he'd been out preaching one night, and he came back into the house after midnight. He'd preached out of town, and he came back in, and his wife was in bed asleep. And so he was kind of hungry. He didn't think it would be a good idea to wake her up to cook something in the middle of the night. And he was just thinking about what he might do. And so he thought it'd be funny just to set all the clocks ahead. It was just after midnight, but he set all the clocks up to 6:30 in the morning. All the clocks. He had all the alarm clocks in the house set. He took his clothes off quietly and crawled in bed just before those alarm clocks went off. Now, it's just midnight. And he crawls in the bed real easy, and he lays his head on the pillow. About that time, those alarm clocks start going off. Ring, 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 all over the house. And he punched his wife, and he said, "Honey, it's time to get up." She said, "Oh, man, I'm tired. I feel like I just went to bed." He said, "I know, I'm tired too." But he said, "We got to get up." Well, he got her up, out of bed. She went and cooked breakfast, and he sat down and ate it, and then he told her what he'd done. She might not have been happy right then, but he thought it was pretty funny. I think she laughed about it later on. I'm saying we just need to be cheerful people. I think people tend to get saved more. People tend to come into our church more if we don't seem like a bunch of old sore heads and meanies. Be cheerful. Let's pray together. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for all the verses in the Bible that talks about cheerfulness, having a merry heart, joy, gladness, praise. Lord, we just want to praise you in this Christmas season. We want to praise you for the Lord Jesus coming in a body of flesh to die on a cross to save us from our sins. Lord, we sure are glad that we know our sins have been forgiven when we've trusted you. Lord, I pray you'd just put a desire in us. We might not be able to just turn our whole life around at once if we've kind of been negative-minded and depressed and sad and blue all the time. We might not change it all at once, but Lord, help us have an attitude that we want to change it, and we want to let you work inside of us to change us from the inside out. I pray, Lord, that we just make up our mind we're going to let you do that for us. Help us to make that decision right now. Lord, make me a cheerful person. Let that medicine of gladness and joy and merry heart work within me to make me what I ought to be, to attract people to the Lord Jesus. I pray that you'd bless those who are watching and listening, and maybe there's some who haven't trusted Jesus as Savior yet. I pray that, Lord, you'd just give them that desire right now just to say, "Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, as the Bible says, but I don't want to go to hell. I want to be saved." I pray that you'd bless them with faith. Help them to turn to you this night. Bless all of the folks who've lost loved ones, and Lord, the people in our midst and in our own church that have sickness. Lord, we think of the cancer treatments Miss Carol's having to go through, and Tommy Smith, and Lord, the Sutherlands, the Hopkins, and Lord, others who are just having a tough time. And I pray that you just bless them. And Lord, even though their circumstances are bleak at times, I pray that you'd just give them joy in their heart. Give them a dose of that cheerful heart type of medicine that would just cheer them up. Lord, heal their bodies and their sicknesses. Give them joy, I pray. In Jesus' name we pray.